Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Welcome to His Tabernacle Family Church. How y'all doing? There were about five people on the stage that clapped. How y'all doing? My goodness, it's so great to see you. I'm going to do what I did in first service. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Say, neighbor. I love you. Now turn to the other side. Say, neighbor. Neighbor. You ready to worship? Now you got to answer that question. Be like, yeah. Be like, yeah. 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 Hallelujah. We serve an amazing, an unstoppable, an unmatchable God, right? So come on and sing this with me. Sing Heaven Thunder.
Heaven thundered, and the world was formed. Life begins and ends in the dust you form.
Come on, say faith commanded.
Faith commanded, and the mountains moved. Fear is losing ground to our hope in you.
Come on, unstoppable.
Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on.
Hallelujah.
Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Unstoppable God.
Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
All right, one more time. Turn to the person behind you and say, my God is unstoppable. That He does the impossible. You believe that? All right, so come on and sing Heaven Thunder.
Heaven thundered, and the world was born.
Yeah.
Life begins and ends in the dust you form.
Come on, faith commanded.
Faith commanded, and the mountains move.
Fear.
Fear is losing ground to our hope in you. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on.
Yeah.
Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Come on.
Nothing shall be him.
I want to hear it. Yo. Yeah.
We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus our God.
Come on, come on.
Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus our God.
Come on, say.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus our God, unstoppable, unstoppable. let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Come on, just the voices.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom.
Come on.
Will. Yeah. Jesus, are.
Not just a little louder, say.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God.
Come on, come on, say.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore.
Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Unstoppable God, let your glory go. Impossible things in your name, they
shall be done.
Sing unstoppable, yeah. Say impossible things.
Come on, just one more time, say.
Unstoppable God, let your glory go.
Come on and lift your hands. Say impossible.
Impossible things.
In your name they shall be done.
Do you really believe it? Just one more time. Say unstoppable.
Unstoppable God, let your glory go
on and on.
Come on.
Impossible things.
Impossible things. In your name they shall be done.
Hallelujah.
Stop worshiping him today. Come on. He's the God, right, that we serve, who has come, right? He is above all, right? Do we believe that today? Has he overcome for you today? Come on.
Seen and above, throned in the Father's love, destined to die.
Perfect in time. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you overcame? Isn't it awesome to know that you're not whooped? You realize you can't fail? Turn to someone and say, I can't fail. That's right. With God on your side, you can't fail. Bible says that he's made you more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. So no matter what weapon is formed against you, it can't work. It can't harm you. Amen? Enemy comes in one way. He's got to flee seven. You got it made. Turn to someone and say, I'm more than a conqueror. On your way back to your chair, can you tell five people, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus my Lord. Come on, don't sit down. Make sure you say hi to somebody. I'm more than a conqueror. Come on, tell somebody this morning. Maybe you need to make this your declaration of faith. I'm more than a conqueror.
Everybody, grab a seat, grab a notebook, grab a pen, and get ready because we've got information coming up that you do not want to miss. You at a group, and y'all gotta get as psyched as she is because there's food, there's family, and there's fellowship. Isn't that right, Abby?
That's right. Oh. We wanna see you at your local campus's information center. We'll see you there. Hey, family, we know you're so excited about what Jesus is doing in your life, and we want to give you an opportunity to continue to grow. That's why we have available Next Steps classes 1, 2, and 3. We would love to see you at any of the campuses, and you can find this information at histabernacle.com or right at your campus's info center. But this is important because what we know in Jesus is what we can do in Jesus. We want to see you go to that next level this year. Go ahead and join today so you can start on your next level.
Hey, are you new to His Tabernacle? Listen, we have a class just for you. It's called Growth Track. We want to help you connect with the family here at His Tabernacle, help you grow up and discover what God can do through you.
Good morning, family. How are we all this morning? Are we good? I don't know what it is about second service. I feel like second service is always like everyone's more tired than first service. I don't know. Maybe too much sleep. I don't know. Anyway, we're excited. We're happy that you're here today. If you are a visitor, we want to welcome you here today. If you don't mind sliding your hand up, if you have not already received a guest packet, we have a gift for you. If you want to go ahead and wave your hand high so we can come bring you a gift. If you're new in the house today, we have a couple in the middle section. Awesome. We are so glad that you're here with us today. We want to welcome our online family. Thank you for watching. We have so many great things happening in this church, so I want to challenge you to make sure you're watching online so you don't miss out. But two things. Tonight, everybody say tonight at 6 p.m. is Awaken, our young adult service. So if you are ages 18 to 35-ish, I like to say that because if you're like me, you don't really feel your age, you feel younger. So anyway, you need to come tonight. It's going to be fun. It's their fall fest. Wear your best flannel. Come for some yummy treats.
So how old are you?
I'm not telling you. I am 25. I'm not really 25.
Listen, liars go to New Jersey, so I'm just kidding.
Okay. Anyway, so don't miss tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. Also, next weekend, Saturday, October 19th, October 19th, we are going to have a pastoral banquet. If you have not already gotten your tickets for this, I want to encourage you to do so. It's going to be so much fun. You get to dress up, look fancy. It's going to be a red carpet game show theme, so it's going to be a lot of fun. We just want to honor and celebrate our pastors for all that they do for us. So I really want to encourage you to come to that. You can bring your gifts for them. We're going to honor them. We're going to have fun. It's $10, and it's going to be a great night. So make sure you get your tickets out front at the Hub and be there next Saturday. We have Pastor Rhonda for offering.
Amen. My favorite time of the service is when we get to talk about tithes and offerings and our finances, because God takes pleasure in the prosperity of His people. He talked more about money when Jesus walked this earth than any other topic. So it's Jesus' favorite topic also. So I have such an exciting testimony for you. We're just going to let the testimony of the Lord's blessing on lives speak to you this morning. This is Nicole and Craig Caldwell.
Good morning. Okay, so I'm a professional writer. That's my job. And it's one that God kind of dropped into my lap after I had to quit another job because of abuse. And when I lost that job, we were right there at rock bottom. Like, we didn't have food in our cupboards. Like, we were just stuck. And we came to visit Pastor during that time. And of course, the church hooked us up with food and some other things, but he taught us some things that were just amazing lessons that we didn't know how bad we were going to need them several years later. So when I started writing, my income increased steadily, and I ended up working for one agency for a really long time, about 5 years, and they had one main client of theirs that I wrote for. And what happened every summer, my work would slow down and we'd start to get worried. And then this summer, it slowed down. We should have been expecting it. But then it stopped for 30 days. And once those 30 days were over, we were told that this agency had lost their client completely. And that meant that the bulk of my income was going away. Now, I had been able to retire my husband from being a truck driver so he could drive a school bus. And so, of course, he wasn't working during the summer. But I knew that I had to rely on what I knew to be true and not just the facts. So I did some things. The first thing I did was I reminded God that we were tithers, because in Malachi it says to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, and then you will be blessed abundantly. And it says, test me in this. So I told God, this is your problem. This is not my problem, and I'm not going to worry about it. I'm expecting you to take care of it. And then I told the enemy that he needed to get his hands off of our finances. And I also told him that he messed with the wrong person. So the next step after that was to sow a seed. Well, when this happened, we didn't have anything. I was expecting another order to come in. I didn't have a seed to sow. But there was a payment for $10.75 that came in. And I gave that whole amount to God. And I said, this is all I have. I'm expecting a harvest in my work. And that was it. So then the next thing I did after that was I got on Facebook, because the word says in Revelation, they triumphed over the enemy by the blood of their lamb and the word of their testimony. So I talked about everything that God had done in our lives. I talked about physical healing testimonies and financial testimonies and everything. And it was just awesome. And then I had a friend who was very skeptical about tithing and sowing. And I told her, you watch. These are the things I'm doing. You watch. God is going to show you. I used the word to go after what I wanted, and God just gave me an incredible peace, and this is where it gets good. So the first thing God did was he made a way for Craig to make money during the summer, and that was such a blessing. He also increased the amount of work that I got during the month of September, which would have been the last month working for this particular client, and I got all their work, so that was a big blessing. And then I got a phone call from someone else who worked with this client, and they were going to submit a new proposal, and they wanted me to be one of their two writers. So I waited for a week, and I hoped that they would accept the proposal. And during that time, I got hit with something else that hit our family, and it was really bad. And I'm not going to go into details, but it was the kind of thing that just makes you think, how much more can I take? You know, I felt like I was already under so much pressure. But I shut myself in my bedroom to cry out to God. And every ounce of me wanted to throw in the towel and say, you know what? I guess it didn't work. I wanted to tell God that I couldn't wait anymore. And I wanted to tell him that I was angry because I'd stayed in faith. But he stopped me. And he said, don't you dare. He said, don't you dare speak a word of doubt. Don't even think about it. You're almost there. Amen. He said, you're right on the brink of it. And if you open your mouth, you're going to miss your breakthrough and your blessing. So just stay in faith and wait. So he led me to a sermon clip that I listened to, which was speaking directly to that new situation that was too big for me to handle. And I worshiped and I cried and I told God that I would trust him no matter what. Amen. The same day, a new client called me from a pest control company in Utah, wanting me to write and redo their entire website. The same day, that proposal was accepted. And later on that night, I got my very first order. But that moment is critical, and I can't emphasize that enough, because everybody comes to that moment where you're just about to give up. You're just about to say, you know what, God, I guess you couldn't do it. And so I want to tell anybody who's going through that type of situation today, don't you dare. Don't you dare let the enemy steal your breakthrough, steal your blessing. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. And he is just so good. Thank you.
The very same day, the same day she almost quit, the same day she almost threw in the towel, two incredible breakthroughs happened in the same day. Thank you, Jesus. And that's what our promise is when we obey his word. So if you're ready this morning to give with your tithes and offerings, stand to your feet. We're going to make a supernatural declaration from the word of God. And when we speak this, we are prophesying over our finances, like Nicole and Craig did over their finances. God, this is yours. I'm putting it in your hands. I'm obeying you. Open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that I cannot even contain. So Deuteronomy 28 says, if you'll repeat after me, say it like you believe it and you mean it. Say it like you're not going to quit. You're not going to quit this morning. If I obey, I'm blessed going in. I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching by a live stream, you can click on the giving button or even text to give right along with us.
And the world was born. Life begins and ends in the dust you formed. The faith commanded and the mountains moved. The fear is losing ground to our hope in you. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Amen. Isn't it good to know that your God is unstoppable? You know, some people serve a God that's just quiet and dead, and you're not just sure if he's going to show up if you need him. Do you remember the prophets of Baal, the 400 prophets of Baal that were worshiping, and Elijah was there, and they were doing a competition kind of thing. Elijah said, listen now, we'll both build some altars, and the God who's the true God will show up. And so, you know, the prophets of Baal are over there cutting themselves and dancing around their altar, and nothing happened. And what was really funny, and many people don't realize, is Elijah actually said, hey, where's your God? Is he on the toilet or something? And then Elijah, he took it and he did a furrow around and poured water over top of it and then called down the power of God. And the Bible says that God rained down fire from heaven. It licked up the sacrifice, licked up all the water, and God showed himself as powerful. And I don't know about you, that's the God we serve, amen? He's the God of the impossible, and man, somebody else's God might be sitting on the toilet, but our God is reigning on the throne, amen? Praise the Lord. Turn to somebody and say, I just love Jesus. Today is going to be so much fun, and many of you know that we have multiple campuses, and we run what's called One Voice, and that is, when I preach on a Sunday, the same message is preached in Ithaca, Mansfield, Horseheads, West Virginia, Kentucky, and in Mexico. And so we all preach the same sermon. And every once in a while, you know, they just kind of need to be able to spread their wings and have fun. So they're all preaching whatever they want today, just having a blast. And this is a message God laid on my heart on Friday evening. And I just want to share with you what the Spirit of God is saying, I believe, to this house. You see, that's the great privilege that I have, the honor, and I find it as a true, genuine honor. I'm not here sharing a sermon with you, but I actually ask God, what do you want me to tell your people? Because you are not my people. Can I hear an amen? You are God's people. We are God's folk. Amen? And you see, in that, I don't have the privilege of saying whatever I want. I've got to give what God tells me to give. That's my responsibility. And that's a great opportunity that I have. So I believe that today, I'm going to share with you a message that is for you and I as sons and daughters. You and I as people of God. You and I as next level believers. As we are ushering in the great outpouring of God's Holy Spirit in the end times. So today's message is on the power of generational impartation. I'll say it one more time. The power of generational impartation. God has not just called this church to be a regional church. I remember when he spoke to me way back in 19, a long time ago. And he said, I want you to start this church. And I said, but why, God? He said, I want them to know that I love them. And then he told me, he started telling me what he wanted this church to be, to become. And what it was called was, you see, I don't have a right to choose the call of the church. It's God's choice, amen? And God said, I want this church to be a regional church where the whole Northeast is going to feel an impact in what I'm doing. And what's been exciting is the last year and a half to 2 years, we've launched two campuses. We have a new histabernacle.ca. That's right, New Brunswick, Canada, His Tabernacle. And then the Lord has just been blessing us with other churches that are working with us. And it's been fun watching that. But what I love the fact is that he not only told us to be a regional church, but he's told us to be a generational church. You see, I believe that God is calling this church to be a generational leader, to be a generational raiser, to be a generational church, where it's not going to be just the move of God that starts here and ends after 15, 20 years, but that the Lord, if he tarries, it will be a perpetuated vision, a perpetuated impartation, a perpetuated impact to where this region is truly going to feel the church in the cornfield, because our God is an impossible God that cannot stop. That's what I mean. There's nothing impossible for him. And with God, his vision is yea and amen. So I'm excited that we are not just a church, but we are a generational church. And that's why we do what we do. On the other side of that wall, on a given Sunday, 140 to 160 children are on the other side of that wall. Why do we do that? We do that because we're a generational church. We're not babysitting them over there. We're training them how to lay hands on the sick. We're training them how to pray. We're training them the Word of God, because we want them, when they get into uproar, to know how to worship, to know how to praise, to know how to move in the power of God. You see, it's exciting when we start recognizing what God is doing. Why do we bus in all these young people on Wednesdays and Thursdays? Why do we spend $600 to $750 every single week just on a bus? Why do we do that? We do that because the Lord spoke to me that we cannot lose the generation in our region. We cannot lose the generation of Elmira. We cannot allow them to slip through our fingers. We've got to reach out. We've got to grab them, invest in them, not just feed them, not just clothe them, but transition them through the power of impartation, through the Word of God, that literally generations will change simply because you and I are a generational church. You see, I believe that we make the difference, not just for the now, but for the future. And I believe that's what God's calling us to do. And this morning, I want to share with you some of the principles of generational impartation. Because it's not just the church. It's every one of us that's in this room. We are all generational, whether you like it or not. Amen? And we all have to have the mind of God. And that next generation is where we have to aim. If you're only aiming for your now, you are missing the vision. I said, if you're only aiming for the now, you're missing the vision. This has got to be for the people that are going to be running this church All those kids on the other side of that wall, all under 12 years old. In 10 years, many of them will be leading the church. Many of them will have their old children on the other side of that wall. It's amazing to realize how quickly time goes by. Chris came in his truck, and his little boy, I'm sorry, what's your boy's name again? Ryan. I knew that's Ryan. I'm sorry. Ryan's in the vehicle with him. I looked at him and said, how old are you? He goes, 14. I went, no way. Yeah, that means we're getting up there, aren't we? No. It's amazing to realize how quickly time passes. Amen? It's amazing to realize how quickly all of a sudden you got to cut. He's in mama's belly, and now he's 14 years old. It's amazing to realize how quickly the generations depart. How many of you have been in Sunday school teachers, and now those kids, you're teaching their kids? I remember Kathy Stairs. She was a school teacher for 30 years, a kindergarten teacher, I believe. And, man, she ended up teaching kids in the third and the fourth generation of the family. How quickly time goes. But what happens is when we are not a generational thinking individual, we literally just live for our now. And God wants to realign us. We have the mind of Christ, and God is a generational thinker. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 and 6 says this, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, he's talking, Paul talking to Timothy, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that is in you now. So what Paul is saying, he says, you know what? I want you to realize, Timothy, that you aren't just a product of yourself, but you're a product of the generations. You know, I look at Chris this morning, and I've known Chris, oh my goodness, since 1989. Yes, 1989. And his grandmother was in service this morning. And she is mature. She was a pastor of a church. And Chris's grandmother, now you've got Chris, now you've got Ryan, now you've got the other part of the family, and soon enough you'll have grandchildren. Oh, you have grandchildren. Wow, you're an old guy. So now just in church alone, you've got Chris's grandma, you've got Chris, you've got his children, and now he's got four generations. How quickly that goes by. My mom was in church this morning, and I remember my grandma Stewart. And one day we took a photograph in the early 90s, just after Cody was born. And we had five generations. My grandma died at 101 years old, loving Jesus all the way to her last breath. And I want you to realize that generationally, that is what's happened. The faith of my great grandmother went into the faith of my grandmother, who went into my mother, who went into me, now is in my children, and now is in my grandchildren. I want you to realize the power of generational impartation and the power of our lives go far beyond just the breath that we're breathing now. We've got to grab a hold of this so that the faith that you have will be generationally deep. Bible says that therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. This is the mind of heaven. Whether you realize it or not, you are raising generations. Some of you are saying, well, I don't even have kids yet, but you will. Some of you have children. Some of you have grandchildren. Some of you, and we have folks in the first service, I'm sure here too, that are older, and you chose not to have a family, and you're saying, well, I don't have kids, but you have spiritual kids. Everybody here in this room is making generational impact. Everybody in this room is making generational movement, and we've got to make a decision in our hearts, whether conscious or unconscious. Am I just going to live for myself? Am I just going to satisfy my moment, or am I going to build for generations to come? Now, you see, that's the great part about the Lord. Is God thinks generationally. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, God talks about the sins of the father. Visit the children to the third and the fourth generation. You know, you've heard me talk about how I pray, and I pray the covenant of God over my family. How many of you know the covenant is yea and amen? That God cannot lie. And God, through Jesus Christ, cut a covenant with us.
Number one, that salvation is available. So I decree over my family. I declare over my family, as God has given me authority as a son, that I can sit back and speak those things which are not as though they already are. And I speak over my family, and I name our names. And that's Michael, that's Rhonda, Cody, Chad, Corinne. That is Mindy, that is Jade, that's Antonio, I lost her. Sophia, that is Julian, and that is Hunter. And then I declare all of Cody and Mindy's babies, because I'm not sure if they're done. All of Chad and Jade's children, and all of Corinne and Antonio's children, ready? To the fifth generation. I decree that not one will be lost. Listen, if the sins go to the third and fourth generation, then the blessings of God can go further. Can I hear an amen? And I declare in the name of Jesus that not one of them will be lost, but not just not lost to sin, not just not lost to heaven, but every one of them will fulfill the destiny that God placed them on the planet for. I declare in the name of Jesus, there will be no sickness, no disease, no maiming, no wounding, no growth, and no spirits of infirmity that are allowed on our family to the fifth generation. In the name of Jesus, I declare that we will prosper in all things and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. I declare that in the name of Jesus, we're going to be so prosperous, even in worldly goods, that the world is going to have to make up reasons of why we're doing this and doing that as preachers. I don't care, because I want God to get the glory. And it's time for you and I to realize that what Jesus did is not just for you and I, but it's for generations to come. We are literally setting up our children for success. We are literally setting up our children to prosper. We are literally setting up our generations so that they will bring in the greatest move of the Holy Spirit and that end time harvest until Jesus comes. I can't wait to see what God is going to do. What's so exciting to me as they are, those kids behind that wall. Listen, I remember when the Palcos, oh dear Jesus, help me now. Pastor Palco and I used to have competitions. She had the twins in her belly. And for many months, I won. We would stand next to each other and measure our bellies. And for a long time, I won. But now, her boys are 6'2". How old are they? They just turned 14 years old. Dear Lord! Wow! You know what amazes me? Is that if we were just thinking about ourselves, then we would never prepare those 14-year-old boys to be successful in the kingdom of God. We have got to think generationally. God is a generational thinker. In fact, the Bible declares in Luke chapter 1, verse 50, he says this, "And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." We must intentionally make sure that our generations are sewed up, that our generations are being given the right and opportunity to know God. We must make sure that our generations are in the position to where they will know God, run with God, and fulfill God's destiny and God's purpose. We have got to start thinking like never before generationally, and I'll tell you why. Because the onslaught against the church has been absolutely amazing. We have right now churches popping up all over the United States that are 1 hour in, 1 hour out. It's not that God has to move. It's just we want to make everything convenient for everybody. But I'm here to tell you very clearly that without the Holy Spirit, the people are in big trouble. Can I hear an amen? This is not about convenience. This is about the Holy Ghost. This is not about you and I just getting our religion on. This is about you and I knowing our God and being able to have that generational impartation so that our children will know our God. Our children will walk with our God. They'll walk in the authority in the name of Jesus. They'll walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. They'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. If they touch any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And when they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. It's time to realize that if we don't raise them generationally, somebody else will. And that's what's happening. We have school systems raising our children, friends raising our children, and even church folk not raising their children. Oh, man, I'll be honest with you. It grieves my spirit. I, I almost lose my salvation. When a parent, I'll ask them where their kid is, and they'll say, well, you know, they just didn't want to come, and we didn't want to force them because we don't want them to hate church in the future. And I said, that's stupid. Did you do that when they didn't want to go to school? Well, no, because I could go to jail. Right. But, man, I'm telling you something. We've got to realize that our kids don't always want to do, but that's not their job to choose. You are the parent. Can I hear an amen? My kids didn't like being in church all the time. Man, we were in church all the time. But man, I came to an understanding, and that is until they're out of my home, they're my responsibility. Train up a child in the way they should get old, in the way they should go when they get old, they will not depart. I've got to lean upon the word of God to decree that my family will be saved, because what the seed I put in is the harvest I'm going to get out. And when you're putting your seed in that something else is more important, then guess what's going to happen? You're going to get the seed that's not as important. You see, whether you realize it or not, this generational thing is so powerfully real, even in your life. What's impartation? Well, the word impartation and conferring simply mean this. It's a release of a greater one to a lesser one. As a mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, you are the greater one of authority in your family. As a mom and dad, you are the authority in your home, not your child. As a parent, you are the authority and the greater one in your family. And you and I are the ones responsible before God for the raising of our children. Boy, get really quiet in this place. Isn't it quiet? I mean, if you're convicted, just pick your feet up, but still say amen. This is where I believe that the Spirit of God was really just placing this on my heart, because I'm watching parents make serious, serious mistakes for their future of their generations. They're placing a lot of things before their passion for God. Whether you realize it or not, your children will have the passions that you have. Not too far does the apple fall from the tree. Come on now. We all know that's true. I remember when I was a school bus driver. I loved school bus driving. When I was a school bus driver, the greatest cussers in the school bus were the kindergartners. My school bus wasn't yellow. My school bus was blue, because they cussed a lot. Blue smoke. Shh. I mean, talking like, and I look at them and say, where do you hear that F word like that? Well, my mommy and daddy say that. Come on now. Whether you realize it or not, your children are parroting everything you're doing. They're not just sitting back and saying, well, I'm going to be my own individual. You're creating them. Whoop, got awful quiet. Come on now. There are two houses that are imperative to be able to change a generation and to make sure that we keep our generations. The number one is the one I want to talk about first is the house of God. The church you go to has a direct impact on whether or not your children will be Holy Ghost filled or just religious. The Bible makes a very strong statement. He says in the last days, there will be many that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. There are churches, and I'm not bashing churches, they are who they are. But there are churches even with tens of thousands of people in them that do not allow the Holy Spirit to move in their families' lives. So what they're doing is they're, many of them, preaching good word, but no Holy Spirit. The letter of the law killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. There is a need to make sure that our children understand the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See, the church you go to is either going to be Spirit-filled or Spirit-void. You're either going to go and truly understand how to move in the power of God, how to raise the dead. Come on now. You'll never raise a dead person if you don't even know it's in there to raise them. You'll never lay hands on a sick person. I love our kids' ministry. It's not strange to hear a parent come and say to us, you know, Pastor, when we were sick, my little baby came up and laid hands on me and prayed that I would be healed. because we're training them. As a church, this is important for you. It's important for you to recognize we're not doing a babysitting contest or our service on the other side of the wall. We've got to bring the understanding of the Word of God to your babies. And you and I are the people of God that carry the passion. What I have found is that many people have no more passion for the house of God than they do to go to work. We can't understand why our kids don't want to go to church. Now listen, I told you my kids were, they were wayward for a while. And they when they didn't want to go to church, that's their problem. They're going, they're using my toilet paper, laying their head down on my bed that I bought. They're using my water. Can I hear an amen? They open the refrigerator. It ain't my food. If you don't like, if you like all that stuff, then you're doing what I tell you to do. Get out of bed. You're going to church. Well, I don't like church. I don't care if you like church. What I'm actually doing is I'm actually setting it up for the next generation, because the next generation will be a young people that will say, listen, you don't want to go to church? Get out of bed. My mama made me get out of bed. You're getting out of bed too. You're raising generations. I remember when our kids, they were young. I mean, talking like, your kids pray like you pray or not. And so we taught our kids to pray every morning, man. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're not ashamed of the baptism of the Holy Ghost in this church. We're not ashamed of the Holy Spirit in this church. This church is a tongue-talking church. I'm not ashamed of the gift that God has given the church in Acts chapter 2. I'm not ashamed that God told us to pray in tongues. And Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. Man, so I pray in tongues. It's a normal language in our home. And, you know, and we walk around, we're praying in tongues, singing in tongues. And, man, I remember when our kids came up to us, and Cody was first. He said, can I pray in tongues too? He was 4 years old. Laid hands on him. It was on Water Street. I don't remember the number, but on Water Street down in Elmira in the living room. I laid hands on him, and God filled him with the Holy Spirit right there in the living room, because it was normal, because we are a generational family. What I want my kids to become, my grandchildren to have, I must impart now. So it's normal for us. I've made decisions. You know, every evangelist that comes in, one of the things they say about our family is they say, you know, Pastor, we love being here at His Tabernacle because it's so abnormal to see that a pastor's family loves God. It's abnormal to see them all in ministry. And I said, well, you know what? We just love the Lord. We serve God. We sowed into our children. We made sure they had the principles to succeed. And now they're all serving God. I'm blessed. I'm a blessed man. But you know, the truth is that it was intentional, not mistaken. If you want success, you've got to be an intentional parent. You've got to be an intentional person. You've got to make sure that what you have in your spirit is going to be transferred, is going to be conveyed, is going to be conferred, is going to be imparted into the next generation that will go further. The other one, man, I found is simply this. Moms and dads, what you focus on, your kids will. What you believe is important, your kids will. You know, I say this a lot, and I have parents mad at me, and I'm sorry. I'm just going to tell it the way it is, because when I stand before God, He's going to say, did you tell him? And I'm going, yep. And if you don't listen, that's between you and Jesus. But if I don't tell you, that's between me and God. Man, I have parents coming up to me, well, you know, we can't come because my kid's in a sport on a Sunday morning. Or, you know, my kid's over here or my kid's over there. Well, you know what, Pastor, I'd like to be there, but I just don't have time. My life is busy. I want you to realize something very quickly. If you don't have a passion for the house of God, your children will not have a passion for the house of God. Which simply means this, is that when your kids no longer go to the house of the Lord and they start having babies, their babies are not going to the house of the Lord either. So what you've created is a generational flow to where now people are not serving God. I can't tell you how many Christians, you know, it actually is burdensome to me. And I'm blessed. My cousin's in the house of God this morning. And, you know, my sister was in the house of God this morning. But we have loved ones that grew up in the same church experience that we had. And they chose not to continue to follow Jesus. And sadly, come on now, I mean really sadly, now their children have never been really in the house of God. and now their kids are going to have kids. So we've perpetuated impartation that's negative to where now they're not going to serve the Lord. It's not like Paul was saying to Timothy, I saw the faith first in your grandmother, then I saw it in your mother, now I see it in you. Man, I want you to realize that the faith will be seen or the lack thereof, and you and I have to make a decision. Am I a generational person or am I just living for my moment? Am I going to do something that's going to perpetuate down through my entire life to where in 4 and 5 generations they can say, your grandma served God? My grandmother, Grandma Stewart, was an old Church of God woman. I remember when the move of God hit our church up in Newfield, I had never seen that before, so I called up Grandma Stewart, and I said, you know, people were laughing in the spirit stuff, and I've never really seen that. She goes, oh, Sonny, she said, you know, we used to see that in the old sawdust trail. What was that? What's an old sawdust trail? Back in the old days, they would do tent revivals back in the 1940s and 50s. And because it was so muddy, they would put down sawdust in the middle. So it kind of made a hard pack rather than everybody sinking up to their elbows. And she started talking to me about the move of the Holy Spirit. She said that was normal back in those days. You know, wasn't it amazing how blessed I am that my great-grandmother, who died at 101, imparted into my grandmother, who imparted into my mother, who imparted into me, and now we've imparted it in our children, and now we're seeing it in our grandchildren. And I decree in the name of Jesus that we are a generation and a generational family, and this is a generational church, and you're going to raise up your generational family, and into the fifth generation, they're going to serve God to their last breath. See, when you make that decision, it changes your whole life. It changes your whole perspective. It changes how you act. Listen now, your babies cuss like you cuss. Can I hear an amen? They're as faithful as you are faithful. They're rebellious as you are rebellious. That always makes me chuckle. I'll have a parent come to me, and they'll say, you know, I just need help. My kid is just so rebellious. And I said, but so are you. Well, that's not nice. I said, but the fact is that you submit to nobody. Nobody's going to tell you what to do. No one's going to give you direction, and now you can't understand why your kid can't submit. We are generational, whether we like it or not. We are perpetuating the reality of life, whether we like it or not. And we've got to make a decision in our lives. Am I going to perpetuate? Am I going to bring forth an impartation that will bring glory to God, that my generations will be in heaven with me so that we can have a party with Jesus? Or am I going to damn them to hell because I'm going to live any way I want? Don't tell me what to do. Come on now, say amen or oh my. See, this is the change, the shifting in our minds, because the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ and we know the mind of Christ. Christ is generational, so we have to make a decision. Am I going to be a generational individual that will impart to my children life, or will I impart death? They're going to smoke you like you smoke. They're going to smoke weed like you smoke weed. When people come in for premarital counseling, one of the questions I ask is, who do you fight like, your mother or your father? That's what I get. Someone laughs at me. And I said, no, really. And they think about it, and then they tell me, my mother or my father. Why? Because that's imparted. That was conferred. You fight like somebody. I look at the parents and say, do you want them to fight like you in your marriage? Well, no. I said, then you got to change. If you want to see success, come on, intentional success. We do it with business all the time. There are things you can and cannot do intentionally in business to make sure that your business is going forward so that your children will have a business to run. But the fact is, if you choose not to be intentional, you will destroy that business. You'll destroy your reputation. You'll destroy everything around you. Everything we do is going to have a consequence. And generationally, we have to think in our spirit. We have to say, God, what is going to make them not not just successful on this planet, for what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? I've got to choose to say, God, I want my babies to know how to pray. I want my babies to have a passion for your house. I want my babies to know how to lay hands on the sick. I want my babies to know God. I want my babies to be in heaven. This is a choice. This is generational. And today, man, I tell you, it's a big concern as a pastor. I know what we're doing as a church because I'm making sure that the ship is being steered in the right way. But I'm talking about your families now. Your kids are going to drink like you. Your kids are going to do and like what you do. Somebody once said to me, never watch on TV what you don't want your daughter to become. Because when you open up that TV, that box, no longer a box, screen, you're letting spirits in your home. That's the doorway to your house. What are you imparting to your family? What are you conferring to the generations? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, my generations, I'm praying for them every day. As for me and my house, I am not a perfect man. I have not always been intelligent. Say amen or oh my. That was your oh my moment, not your amen moment. But the fact is this, is that if your kids see you get up and fix yourself and keep running, then they know when they fall down, they can get up and keep running. Can I hear an amen? Everything we do is generational. Everything we do is generational. And so the question is, I had this man, he was so funny. He was shacking up with his girl. And he had a 14, 15-year-old daughter who was attractive. And he said, man, I'm going to make sure she's not sleeping with any boys. I'm going to put them through the ringer. I'm thinking, you're shacking, but you're telling your kid not to have sex outside marriage. You don't want your kid to become an alcoholic at 18 years old, but there's booze all over your house. You don't want your kid to be a drug addict, but you don't mind smoking weed, and you think they don't know what it smells like? Medicinal, take the pill. To get you to come to church on a Sunday morning, it takes 4 atom bombs and a crowbar and 6 cups of coffee. And you can't understand why your kid don't want to go to church? But it don't take you that long to get to work. This is all about generational. And, you know, I think a lot of times we become delusional where we think that our kids are going to do something different than we do. And the fact is that it not only doesn't happen that way, generationally they actually get worse. When you study wealth, the wealthiest group is usually the first generation immigrant. But by the 5th generation, they're poor. How is that? It's true, but what happens is simply this. Is over the years, the same principles are not kept. And in the house of God, it's the same thing. Man, when you used to go to church, your mom and dad used to bring you to church, and you didn't have a choice to go to church. You complained your whole way. But man, God got a hold of you. One night, I don't know where it was, when it was, but what Jesus did in your life changed your life. Man, you grew in love with the Lord. You had passion. You married somebody who loved Jesus too. And man, you start raising your kids, and then life starts happening. And now church is not that important, and you can't understand why your kid don't want to go. This is all about truth. And I believe we have generational impartation that we have to grab a hold of, because without this, we are just literally living for the moment. But the problem is we are still creating generations. We have to make choices. Some of us have to make changes. Say amen or oh my. Your kid never sees you pray. Guess what? They're not going to pray. Your kid never sees you open the Bible. Why would they open the Bible? I say this with great pride. Good pride. Like I said, every single morning, I was the one responsible to get my kids up. She put them to bed. I got them up, made sure they had breakfast, made sure they were dressed, made sure they did devotions. And I usually walked them to the bus before they got their cars. I would walk them to the bus stop. Every morning, I was in the Word with them. Every morning, I prayed with them. And on the way to the bus, I had them praying in tongues. They get on the bus, and I remember when they got older, one of them looked at me, I don't remember which one, looked at me and said, "Listen, I'm late, I don't have time." And I said, "Well, then I guess you don't have time for school then." It was Chad. It was definitely Chad. I cut options out, but now, watch. Sophia, if you ask her what she prays, at 4 years old, they've taught her a prayer. Do you know what that is? Come here. Come. Get me on the microphone real quick. Quick. This is the prayer that they teach Sophia. A declaration. Go ahead.
All right. So, I'm a leader.
Hold on. It's not on. Are we on?
Oh. Isaac set me up.
There we go.
It's Isaac's fault. So, she'll actually call us, too, if someone else is putting it in her bed. I want to do my thing. So say, I'm a leader, not a follower. I'm not a gossip. I'm not a complainer. I'm a problem solver, not a problem creator. I'm smart. I'm beautiful. I'm bold. But most importantly, I love Jesus and my daddy.
That wasn't accidental. That's generational. If I didn't do that with him, he wouldn't be doing that with his kid. I want you to realize how powerful you are. You are literally creating generations of God lovers or God haters. And no one can choose that but you. I thank God. I don't think it's because of smarts. I don't know how it happened. But I chose to make sure that I raised up generational people. And in this house, I'm proud and excited to say that in this last fasting and prayer, on that night when I watched the teenagers, they're young adults now. They were teenagers when they got saved. Now them up here praying. Man, they were, oh, Jesus. They were praying with fervency. They were praying with authority. They were praying with power. They knew, man, they got a hold of their God, and they said, we are going to serve him. And now they're being raised up as leaders within the youth ministry, leaders within our church ministry. And now they're running the race, baby. That's the next generation. And the next generation is right in there. And the next generation after that might be in your belly. God needs generation. How are you going to raise them? Godly or ungodly? That's a choice. Sadly, not everybody's going to make that choice. But you need to hear the consequences. You're not just damning yourself. You're damning generations to come. I'll end with this. What's that? I didn't finish that story about my cousin and I. We grew up in church, my sister. We grew up in church. All of our families did too. Grew up in the same anointing, the same preaching, the same experience. But some of them are not serving God anymore. Sadly enough, they've had children. I won't say sadly in that sense. You know what I mean? They've had children. their children don't serve the Lord either. And now their children are getting ready to have children. And they're not going to serve God either. All in the same family, you have generations that are serving the Lord. My Aunt Queenie and Uncle Harold. Karina. Kayla. And now their babies, all five of them. Four generations in the same house. Four generations in two rows. All serving the Lord. Are you a generational impartation provider or a decliner? I pray. In this house, we're never going to stop investing in our babies. We're never going to stop investing in our youth, because they are the next generation that's going to lead this church. And we don't want to lead them. We don't want them leading this church in quiet. We don't want them leading this church in powerless praise. We don't want them leading this church in powerless prayer. We want them leading this church in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. We want them laying hands on sick people. We want them praying and prophesying. We want them moving in the gifts of the Spirit. So we're going to train them that way in this house. As for me in my house, this house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. This morning, I want to pray for you. This morning, the Bible talks about impartation, and it comes through the conveyance, usually of the laying on of hands. Every one of the patriarchs, before they died, they laid hands on their sons and sent them forth to do great and mighty things. They released what was in them so that their families could go to the next level. This morning, I want to pray for every one of you. I want to lay hands on every single one of you. We laid hands on over 400 people in first service. And I'm believing God to lay hands on every one of you. Just to do one thing. I want to lay hands on you and release an impartation in you that you'll have a passion for the house, a passion for the kingdom, a passion for your children to know God, and that your walk with God will be greater than it's ever been before. So we're going to pray for every one of you this morning, if you'll let us. I'd like you to bow your head with me this morning. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join religion. I want you to know Jesus. If you know Jesus, your life transforms because he makes all things new. He throws your sin as far as to the east and the west and remembers them no more. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior and you want him in your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anyone in the room this morning? I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to have Mindy come on over here. If you wanted to raise your hand but didn't raise your hand, want to receive Jesus in your life, she's right here, so you can come right up to her. But I'd like to pray for everybody in the room. I hope I didn't bore you today. But I want to lay hands on you, and the staff want to lay hands on you in the name of Jesus. We want to release an impartation of power in your life, that you'll have a fresh unction for God. And when we're done praying, you can all just enjoy your day, and it's beautiful out right now, isn't it? This morning, when we were on our way to church, we crested the top of Langdon Hill, and there was no fog. The most beautiful sunrise you ever see. And in all the valleys, you could only give glory to God. All the valleys, all the white peaks of clouds coming up through, and all of the trees are just turning. If you've not been on Langdon, you need to go on that hill today to see how beautiful God creates things. Came down in the hole and it was cold. But whether you're high or whether you're low, God is still God and he's still great. Amen. So this morning, we just want to pray with you, love on you. So if you'd like prayer, we're going to ask. We usually do it this way. If you want prayer, you and your family, to go on this side of the sanctuary, we're going to have the pastors come, if you'll come now. Pastors and ushers, if you'll come quickly. If you want prayer, you go on this side of the sanctuary. We're going to bring you down that wall. We're all going to lay hands on you as you come through and just minister to you, love on you, release the power of God, and then just go enjoy your day and make sure you impart into your family the greatness and the goodness of your God. Amen? Amen.
There's a shifting in my direction. There's a breaking in my favor as I praise. There's a
there's a shifting
flowing in my favor.
In my favor.
Come on, I feel a shifting in here tonight.
There's a shifting.
And it's for me, only for me.
In my direction.
I said I'm breaking in this place.
There's a breaking.
And it's in my favor.
In my favor. As I pray.
As I praise you, Lord.
There's a breaking.
And it's flowing in my.
In my favor.
Hey, I feel a shifting in this place.
There's a shifting.
Yeah, it's flowing
in my direction.
Hallelujah, I feel a breaking.
There's a breaking.
And it's
in my favor.
And it's
shifting.
And it's headed right for me in my direction, Lord.
In my direction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a breaking.
And it's
in my
favor.
And
it's
as I pray.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is. Feel the breaking in this place in my favor, Lord.
In my favor.
Yes, God. And I feel a shifting in the atmosphere.
There's a shifting.
Oh, and it's headed in the right direction.
In my direction.
Hallelujah. I feel the breaking.
There's a breaking.
Hallelujah, yeah.
There's a shifting.
And it's shifting in the right direction, Father
in
God.
In my direction.
Oh, yeah.
There's a breaking in my favor. As I pray.
There's a breaking.
There's a
and it's in my favor.
In my favor.
And I feel the shifting.
There's a shifting.
And it's in my direction.
In my direction.
Hallelujah. I feel the breaking in.
There's